And in Group F of the Euros, it remains France nil, Hungary nil. Kenny Cunningham, is it still very much France on top?
It is, yeah. They're playing well. Good tempo to their play. They've had a couple of really good chances. Just we spoke about the previous one some minutes ago, and Mbappe had a great chance, a header a minute after that. Great ball in from Digne from the left-hand side. And just then there's some great combination play between Griezmann playing the ball over the top for Mbappe. He's kind of found himself in the central area inside the box. Took one touch. He was surrounded by Hungarian defenders. Looks as if he'd nowhere to go. Just popped it around the corner with the outside of his right foot for a non-Russian Benzema. Looked as if he was going to score. He actually just popped up a little bit on him. He tried to take it with the outside of his right foot. Just went wide of the post. Another half chance there from Mbappe. But he's looking sharp, and the French front three are looking really fluid in their movement and their kind of combination play, playing really well. They're a good watch at the moment, France.
All right. Well, we're also joined by Stephen Elliott, and we're going to look back at last night's very interesting encounter at Wembley. England went into it as favourites, but at the end of it, you'd have to say Scotland perhaps shaded affairs, even though it ended nil-all. Stephen, your take on what we saw at Wembley last night?
I think you have to give a lot of credit to Scotland for the game. Obviously, everyone was well aware England were favourites going into the game, like you mentioned. But I just think Scotland started the game in a really good, aggressive manner and really put it up to England right from the start. And I know people have said England haven't played well, but I don't think Scotland let England get any flow in the game, and that was right from the start. I think the young boy Billy Gilmore, like he was like kind of the key to it. He was harassing Mason Mount in midfield and the other England midfield players. And I think it just kind of set an example for the rest of the Scottish lads. And I know John Stones had a really good chance from the corner, but other than that, England were offered very little on the night. And I think Scotland would probably, not that they were outstanding in possession, Scotland, but they would have counted themselves very unlucky not to have possibly gone on and won the game.
Kenny, it felt like one of those famous Republic of Ireland draws that seemed like wins, didn't it, at the end of it?
Yeah, I suppose that's a compliment in terms of, Steve mentioned, the organisation, the attitude of the Scottish players. Actually kept the ball quite well on occasion. I'd be more critical of England, to be honest with you. I thought they were desperately poor. I'd point the finger at the manager. There's no way this any of those starting 11s which have started England's last two games are capable of winning this competition. He's got some big decisions to make.
So you're saying he's playing the wrong team, essentially?
Oh, in my opinion, I absolutely got players out of form. Sterling, for me, would never be in that team. He hasn't kicked the ball for Manchester City second half of the season. Guardiola threw him into the Champions League final. He never got a kick against Reece James. Southgate's persevered when he got a goal in the first game, but his all-round play wasn't good for me. He's lacking confidence. Harry Kane up front is well off the pace. Sancho, no Grealish, no Jude Bellingham. These are the players, dynamic players, the outstanding individual talent that can take England to another level and possibly compete for this tournament. Until he makes those big decisions to get those players in the team, they're just going to stumble along in this competition.
Are you advocating for dropping Harry Kane?
I don't think that's the only... Well, at the moment, he can't put another performance in like he did the other night. Then he will. Then I will be advocating for him to come out of the team. I think it's bigger than that, though.
Stephen?
Okay, I was just saying, coming in there, do you not think, watching it, like, it's no major really surprise that Gareth Southgate has done kind of this? Do you not think going into the game, because he does lean on the side of cautiousness?
Yeah.
Like in recent kind of, especially in other tournaments, and I think he probably would have went away last night. I think probably happy enough with the draw. Obviously, England have taken a little bit of criticism for their performance and that. But if you're looking at the bigger picture, and I don't know whether this came into his mindset. Obviously, going into the next round, like if they don't win the group, it could be a possibly, like, an easier kind of way through the rounds.
But no, but the fact is, Stephen, those performances aren't good enough. Forget about just getting into the qualifying games.
I agree with you. England need to offer more as well, but again, it's easy for Gareth Southgate just to not take a risk of playing the likes of Sancho, who I was very surprised, and Grealish to an extent. The two of them in the warm-up games, which I suppose them warm-up games for me are all about getting a kind of fluency together in the team going into the tournament. I don't think Gareth Southgate utilised them games correctly, and he kind of played players that he had that weren't in his mind in starting the game. And I agree with you, look off the pace going forward, England. But I feel a little bit sorry for Harry Kane. Obviously, this is probably the forward in me. Like he's getting a little bit isolated up there, and he's not getting much service, and he's having to come deeper, and it can be frustrating. And I just think England need to get more bodies around them and try and kind of.
But you got to get the right bodies, Steve. There's no point in getting Sterling around them.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Sterling's not Peter Beers. He's going to pick up the ball and get the half turn and thread little balls into him. But Sancho will do it.
Even last night when he took Foden off, I couldn't believe he took Foden off.
That was easy. Decision, wasn't it? Sterling should have come off last night. Sterling should have come off. Foden should have stayed on. He was probably the better of their attacking three, but he didn't. He took the easy option.
Yeah, but you're looking at him when he picked up the ball. You always felt like he was capable of doing something. Like, and as I said, he wasn't unbelievable. But
he's not even playing
his
best position, Foden. He's playing him right of a three. For me, you've got to play him centre. You've got to play him in a midfield three. If you're being positive, you sacrifice one of those holding midfielders. You pick your best one, whether it's Rice or Davis or Bellingham, and you play with two number eights. You could play with Grealish or Foden. You could play with Foden in that central area. With Mount, you could play Grealish off the left. You could change the whole attacking dynamic of that team. And that would actually help Harry Kane. He could stay higher up the pitch. He keeps drifting into the halfway line to get a touch of the ball, Stephen. I don't know what he's doing. He's 50 yards away from the goal.
Yeah, you don't want him there. You want him in the box. But the thing is, as well, it was a perfect opportunity, I felt, for Southgate to kind of take a little risk and probably play a different bodies, because they already had a win under the belt. So it was kind of, I know it's a derby game and he's probably worrying about losing the game, but still, the quality England have.
But where's the risk, Stephen? I don't get it. Where's the risk? Sancho's absolutely ripping it up this season for Dortmund. It has been for a couple of seasons. Grealish was the best.
I don't understand why Sancho doesn't play himself.
So where's the risk? I'm hearing people saying he's not.
I know, but I'm saying in Southgate's mind, maybe he feels a loyalty to these other players. I don't know. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm trying to look at it from Gareth Southgate's point of view and kind of think what he's seeing, because obviously he's the English manager. He has a plan in place and he has a vision of how this kind of tournament is going to play out. So
it's a pretty dull vision, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know. Listen, that's everybody's opinion, but that's his mantra. That's his way. It's kind of dull. It's not really exciting football. He does kind of lean on kind of maybe trying to get a 1-0 there.
He's got once in a generation Cabana players there coming through, and he's not using them. He's not tapping into it. You are disagreeing with me. You're taking Southgate's side. No, exactly what you're doing.
Well, to be fair, Kenny, one of the very first things Stephen said was that it didn't surprise him, because Gareth Southgate is a conservative manager. So
but he keeps talking. He keeps being held up as this kind of progressive manager, and these young outstanding young players, integrate them. The future's looking bright for England. I trust these young players, and these aren't young players who are at the periphery of their club teams, not getting game time at their clubs, where they think, well, he can't take the risk. They're not really playing for their clubs. Grealish was the best player in the Premiership for the first half of the season before he picked up an injury. Sancho likewise. Foden. These are absolutely exceptional. They're some of the best in Europe. These kids are ready.
When Grealish came on, though, Kenny, I know he didn't do loads, but you not think there was a fear in the Scottish defenders when he picked up on the edge of the box, don't want to touch him, he can go and win you a penalty and go and do something? Like, I didn't see any of that from any of the other English,
because they haven't got the argument should be he should be in the team, because when the opposition teams have a compact defensive shape, Steve, which Scotland did last night, and other teams will as they go in the competition.
You need people with the individual ability. Well, they played well, Scotland. Like, you can't just say
that's too easy, Steve. It's too easy. I have to give credit to Scotland, but that wasn't good enough for England.
Ireland's performance, and Ireland got a result like that with the players we have, and we managed to kind of hold out an English team. I know you mentioned the players that
when
England
did we do that?
But they still have the players there, like Sterling. Like, they've got good players, Foden in the team.
Now Sterling's not playing. Sterling can't be in that team at the moment. You've got to pick your team. You've got to pick your players in form.
At the same time, if you look at the table, they have 4 points from two games. In a lot of tournaments, I'm looking back to Portugal when they won it the last time. Their first three games were draws, and they didn't win any game before the final in 90 minutes. So, you know, from Gareth Southgate's point of view, he take on the Czech Republic next Tuesday. There won't be that sort of local derby, that rivalry, and he's unlikely to deliver big change, would you agree?
I wish he changed his coat, that Mac and that shirt that Connolly
was
wearing last night.
Was horrendous. Kenny, no? Maybe you should bring the waistcoat back. Is that what you're saying?
I wasn't a big fan of the waistcoat, but I take it ahead of that oversized Mackie he was wearing last night.
That fashion expert here, Kenny Cunningham.
I'm glad you said that, Joanne.
Stephen, just moving ahead, though, because the two of you are both, I know you're less so, but you're both rather critical of the way the team is set up and the approach that's been taken by Gareth Southgate. Even Shane and Cork is talking about Dominic Calvert-Lewin being the on-form striker. He says, forget about the name of the club you play for, play the guy on form, simple as that. But going forward, was last night's performance enough, Stephen, to make you reconsider where England might go in this tournament?
Not really, no. I never really... everybody has a chance to win the tournament. Everyone's mentioned the top teams, the so-called top teams in Europe. who has a chance of winning the tournament before the tournament starts. And you've always got a chance at the start. But I'm looking at England last night. They don't read. There's no fluidity, like Kenny mentioned. There's nothing in behind. There's no threat. They play in front of teams. I'm just watching the France game here, and it's like it's night and day with the way France have. I know they haven't scored yet, but they could be two or three up if the way they're playing. And it's zipping the ball, zipping around. They're moving it quick. They're switching the ball fast from like kind of even the central defenders are moving the ball across the pitch into midfield, looking for that little front man round the corner. England didn't do anything, any of that last night. And if anything, the Scotland midfielders tried to play forward when he did get a bit of possession a little bit quicker than England. So I don't know. The more I watch it, the more I think England haven't got a chance in hell of winning it, like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Kenny, would you agree they haven't a hope of winning?
No, not with that team. Like I've said before, I stand by it. I think they have got a chance of winning it if he gets those different personnel and change the dynamic of the team. Like I said, I just feel as if he's got to give rein to those younger players. I think they're ready.
How likely is that?
Well, it might happen in the last game because he might actually rotate a little, because the way they're sitting in the group at the moment, they're second in the group. They want to finish second. They don't want to win this group because they're going to end up with the second place team from France's group, probably Portugal. That's not where they want to be. So it'd be interesting what's going through Gareth Southgate's head. You can't send a team, obviously, to lose a game. But in normal circumstances, you'd say, ooh, I don't mind if we don't win this, make six or seven changes. But actually, if England don't want to win this last game, he's better off putting that same team on the pitch. Because if he makes six changes, the likelihood is they'd go and win. If he puts Sancho, Grealish, Bellingham into that team, and changes the tactical setup of the team, there's a fair chance they'll go and win their last game by three or four. And that's actually not what they want. Well, it put them in a bit of a quandary.
Well, the talk in a lot of the English media after the game was the return of the likes of Maguire and Henderson.
That makes no difference to me.
Yeah.
I think it's an argument, to be honest with you, even Maguire coming back. I'm not a massive fan of Tyrone Mings, to be honest with you, but I think he's actually done well in the two games. And what he's got pace and he's got mobility, which Maguire hasn't.
What about Connor Cody, Kenny? I think he's never let England down. I'm not saying he's at that level, like, of say,
just mobility as well, Stephen. His athletic ability, he's not quick enough. He's a little bit lumpy on the turn.
When England are going to have more possession of the ball, like say against Czech now this week, you would expect England to have a little bit more of the ball, so why not risk somebody that's a little bit more of a ball player?
But centre half, I don't think it's really going to influence the game at centre half.
I think you're wrong there. I think it can, because I think moving the ball quicker from the back at times can help the rest of the team if they know it's going to come in that little bit quicker. I think it's the whole fluidity, like, right through the team. I think it starts from the back sometimes if you are going to try and play out from there. Like if it's moving a little bit quicker, midfielders, I know it's going to come in. Harry Kane, if he plays, is known, he doesn't have to come as deep. Like, you can't just say it doesn't make a difference.
No, I take your point. McGord and Cody at the back gets them up the pitch a little bit quicker, and they're more accurate with their pass, and Cody in particular has got a great switch of play. But once you get the ball from back to front into those areas, you then need players with the ability to be players 1v1, can play clever little combinations and show that little bit of imagination that you're talking about watching the French team. And my point is, England don't have those players on the pitch at the moment. I think they have it with Foden, but for me, he's playing out of position. So he needs to make those adjustments, and he needs to make them quick, and he just might get lucky in this last game. If he makes those maybe four or five changes, he just might stumble upon the balance in the team, which could actually take him maybe to a semi-final or even a final.
What chance do you give of the Scots progressing? They face Croatia in their last group game, Stephen.
I think it'll be a tough game for them. I think Croatia need to win the game as well, so it's going to be difficult. It's at Hampden Park. It's always going to give Scotland a little bit of a boost. They just need to take the performance from the England game into it, and you're hoping, from a Scotland point of view, you're just hoping that all the lads perform more like they did against England, high energy, like, don't let the Croats settle on the ball, because if you give the Croats time to play and pass, then they will hurt Scotland. And like we've seen in the goal yesterday, Perisic, I know the keeper probably should have done better with the strike, but they have players that can hurt you up the top end of the pitch, which is something that Scotland, unfortunately for them, don't really have. They don't have that killer instinct. I know Che Adams worked really hard against England last night and covered some really good ground and caused a few little problems for England, but you never really felt like they had that kind of killer instinct up there, and that's something that might just cause Scotland to come up short, I think.
I know the reason why you stopped. Are you watching the Hungary France game, Stephen Elliott?
Yeah.
Well, the reason there was a stunned silence from Stephen Elliott is because Hungary have just taken the lead against the run of play. It looked like it was on the break there, Kenny.
Yeah, it was. Just came from nowhere, really, down the kind of Hungarian left-hand side. I'm trying to look who the player was. Just like a little bit of combination play. Looked as if Pavard, the French right-back, was caught a little bit out of position. Little 1-2, just drove into the space in behind, into the box, and found himself very quickly in a 1v1 situation against Lloris. Didn't panic whatsoever and just stroked the pass him into the corner of the net. We've seen it here. Yeah, he just plays a little 1-2 around Pavard, who gets caught out. Varane just can't get back quickly enough.
Fiola is the scorer.
Fiola, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the left wing back. He's a decent player, this lad, actually. Yeah, it was a great finish. Yeah, just stroked it in the corner. Amazing, really, football, isn't it?
France baffling, isn't it, Kenny, that game? France should be literally 3 or 4 up. And they've had really good chances as well. I don't know how Benzema didn't hit the target with that one previously and how they go in, but... shows you, that's what makes football great, doesn't it?
Actually, if you look at the finish, Kenny, doesn't he look into the right-hand corner but then strokes it home into the bottom left-hand corner instead?
I think it's the only corner he could probably aim for. I think Kimpembe is... sprinted across at the last second, actually cut off that angle to the far post. I know what you're saying, Joanna, but I think that was really the only corner which he could have scored, but he still had to go and do it, had the composure to go and do it. It was on his right foot. He's predominantly a left-footed player as well. So, yeah, fans are going absolutely radio rental there. We're seeing
they are, because, of course, the Puskás is the one stadium that has full capacity as well. So
63,000.
And I think shortly before, was Mbappe claiming a penalty a little bit just shortly before that they broke up the other end of the pitch? Now, it was a dodgy claim, but I think he was suggesting that he was fouled just inside the Hungarian box. Anyway, they're going to play 5 minutes of injury time. We missed why there are so many minutes, but they're into the fourth minute of it at the moment, and it's Hungary who now lead France by a 2-0. And you'd normally say, Stephen, what do you expect? Do you expect France to change the way they're set up? But they were already attacking so much. I presume it's just a case of continue as you are and the goals will come.
No, I don't think France will kind of panic too much. But as I said, they've had the majority of the game, and they probably think to themselves, how are they behind? But I would still think if France continue doing what they're doing, they're probably, it's only a matter of time before they score a goal, especially with the quality they have up front and in midfield. But now it's great for the Hungarians to take the lead, give the home crowd something to cheer about. And obviously the guy that scored, I just seen him jumping over the hoardings there. He gave the fright of a life to some girl who was covering the media. She nearly jumped out of her seat. But now that's what football's about, home team. It gives the Hungarian, the Budapest crowds, they're all delighted, shorts around their head swinging it, and it just makes you think what could have been.
Oh, that's another discussion entirely. Yeah. Kenny, as a whole, the tournament so far, because we're just over a week in, what has stood out most for you?
In terms of the games, I'll be honest with you, not too many, Joanna. I'll honestly, I enjoyed the Welsh game the other night, the 1-2. I thought they played really well, probably similar in some respects to the Scottish performance. Performance really from the heart, with some quality as well, some outstanding individual performances. Ramsey, I thought, was absolutely outstanding on the even player of the match. But that Welsh performance. But in terms of the games, Hasn't been too many. France was impressed with their first game, but they played very much within themselves. I watched Italy's first game. I haven't seen the second Italian game a lot of people have been talking about. So I think potentially that they're ones maybe who could maybe dark horses in the competition. I still think they're a little bit short, though, Willie, in all honesty. I think France are the team. I know they're 1-0 down, but I wouldn't worry too much about that. I just feel as if the physicality that France have, their kind of technique and the ball playing ability is up there with most teams, but just kind of their defensive solidity and just that physicality, the power which they have from 1 to 11, I still feel that they're just maybe a little bit above the rest of the teams. But on any given day, as we all know, Joanne, a bit like today, the Hungarian players coming off the pitch, they're kind of high-fiving each other. I wouldn't get too carried away if I was them.
The scenes in the stands, though, are incredible, aren't they? I mean, they are going absolutely crazy and all the red everywhere. It's brilliant.
And we haven't had too many upsets. I mean, Slovakia beating Poland was probably the only upset we've seen in the first week of the competition.
Yeah, it's true. I've been waiting, you're always waiting for that one game, fireworks, which just whoosh, the kind of tournament takes off. I'm not exactly sure we've had that. It's been difficult. I've been watching a few of the games. I'm struggling to watch all the games back to back, I'll be honest with you. I watched that Welsh game. That was my second game the other day. That got me to about 7 o'clock and my head was spinning. I literally had to jump in the car and go out to the beach. Yeah, three games. It's tough. So you're almost like picking and choosing it. Every day you're like, well, watch the early one, boom, 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 whatever, like, you know what I mean? Tell me, man, to the shops, get back, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so hopefully, it'll generate its own momentum, obviously, as the tournament goes on. But I think you're right. A surprise result like this, I think, immediately grabs everybody's attention. The kind of, you know, the romanticism of the whole thing. Hungary, nobody, not expecting to get a point. And like you say, the full crowd in there. Now, I haven't been a big fan of the kind of partial empty stadiums. For me, I'm not really buying into it, in all honesty. People are, oh, at least it's 10,000. I haven't really been feeling it, to be honest.
But it's better
visually
than nothing, surely.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not by much, to be honest with you. But
it makes me laugh when you hear people say, oh, there's 10,000 here, but it feels like it's 50. And you're thinking, no, it doesn't.
Maybe in the Euros.
It certainly did.
Certainly over here in a lot of the GA games up the north where they've been able to have 500, it has made. Maybe it's because the stadiums are so much smaller. Obviously, the bigger the stadium, the emptier it feels when you have
always reminds me of you had a pre-season when you have the empty stadium, but now going pre-season games whenever you used to travel.
That's a dig at you, Stephen. Go on,
yeah. But you'd always vocally, you'd always hear the individual comments. That was thing. That was always the thing. When it's 60,000, everybody's screaming, it's just noise, isn't it? But when it's only like 5,000 people there, you'd hear every individual kind of slur or sarcastic comment. But this is great. Visually, I think, to look at it. Yeah. And I think the Hungarian players are going to have to feed off that second half because physically they're going to be expended second half. France are going to come at them. And I think this is where the capacity crowd can really play their part and really kind of energise those players.
Stephen, your overall impressions of week one?
Yeah, a bit like Kenny. There hasn't been any major shocks, but I like the look of the Netherlands, if I'm honest. I think I'm not saying they're going to win the tournament, but I think they've surprised me with some of the play and some really good performances, individual performance with them. Memphis Depay comes to mind. I think he's improved loads since we watched him in the Premier League for Man United. Obviously, Gini Wijnaldum is having a good tournament and they look threatening. But I still have a sneaky feeling for Portugal. I don't know, it's just the Ronaldo effect. I spoke before the tournament on who I was speaking to and saying he won't be happy that he's not really been mentioned a lot before the tournament, and come at the hour, didn't he? He scored a couple of late goals through the night. So I have a little sneaky feeling for Portugal. Obviously, some of their players they have in their squad too. I'd like to see them kind of go far.
There's actually an article on Ronaldo in one of the papers, possibly the Times today.
Yeah, I read it.
And the stats, the scoring stats. He's 36 and his scoring stats are still off the charts. He's three away from the world record, which you'd assume he's going to overtake in this tournament.
I don't think they're making a big play of his goals in the European Championship final. Is it 11?
Yeah.
I think that was mentioned. Yeah, but he's played and this is his fifth. This is his fifth actual European Championship, I think I read as well. So I was doing the maths and it wouldn't be the brightest light.
Are you knocking Ronaldo?
Some of his stats are...
He's only scored two per tournament, is that what you're saying?
But if you think about it, do the maths, Stephen, help me out here. Five tournaments, you're playing, on average you would have played four games most tour. We're talking about 15, 20 games.
But early on they wouldn't have progressed that much, would they? I'm trying to think.
They always seem to be there or thereabouts quarterfinals, I think, didn't they?
Okay, so then, you're backing them up here, Stephen.
I'm trying to help them out now after digging them out, Joanne. You know?
Load of penalties as well.
Cunningham, Ronaldo, it's actually not. If you see his overall scoring stats, that there are far more from play than there are from penalties. 106 he scored in his time with Portugal, not just European Championships.
He's ruthless,
obviously.
So that's the thing you'll always say to him. Do you know what I mean? Like, if under pressure, he always keeps a kind of calm head and he just has that ruthlessness about him. And I think that will rub off on the Portuguese team. And I can see them kind of going far. I'd agree with Kenny. I still think France are the team to be. Maybe Belgium because of the star quality they have. Obviously, Kevin De Bruyne came on the other night and changed the game. Like, he's involved in both goals and he just has that kind of superstar class that not many nations have. But I think it's France for me are the overall team, and they obviously play with 12 players as well, which is unfair with Kante in there, don't they?
I think Belgium, I'd agree with you, Belgium are worth a mention because I think they can get better. And I wouldn't just reference De Bruyne. For me, Witzel's an important player for them as well, because even with De Bruyne back, they look for me a little bit soft defensively in that central midfield area. Tielemans in there, then Docker, more attack minded players. Tielemans is a lovely footballer, but he's not a great defender. So I just feel as if they need Witzel in, they can get him back match fit. De Bruyne comes back into the equation there as well. And Lukaku for me is absolutely key because they have probably the most informed striker in Europe playing as a number nine. High up the pitch. Criticism of the Italians, have they got that type of player, Mobley? No, they don't. But Belgium have one probably at the prime pinnacle of his career in Lukaku, and he could well be the difference for them in this competition. I think they could get better and stronger as the competition goes on.
And up to I think we're joined now by Roddy Forsyth. Roddy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, John.
And I presume there's a bit of pep in the step of the Scots this morning after what I described as a sort of a win-draw at Wembley last night.
Well, they're out golfing, some of them, and they got back at 2 a.m, so they had a quick bite to eat and to bed, and some of them would have been able to sleep and some of them wouldn't. I'd like to know whether Billy Gilmour was able to get his eyes shut after that. That was a tremendous performance. Man of the match voted, and this was a youngster who only turned 20 last week. Extraordinary story, and that was his first start for Scotland. How remarkable that was.
And it'll give them great self-belief.
You would feel so. The one thing Scotland haven't done in this tournament, and it's the thing that's most vital in some ways, is score a goal. They have to get that against Croatia. And I was at the Croatia-Czech game yesterday at Hampden Park, and it was very much that traditional cliche, a game of two halves. In the first half, the Czechs dominated. But in the second half, we saw a much more fluid Croatia side. And that's what I would expect to see against Scotland. So remember, Scotland can't progress unless they get goals. But we do feel that the Lyndon Dykes Shea Adam partnership has goals in it.
You've just come from the press conference. Was there anything interesting said at that, Roddy?
Well, it was Stephen Reid, the assistant manager, who took the press conference. You'll know him from Ireland days.
You know what?
And he was saying that there's a real heightened mood in the camp. There's the feeling that this is possible after the deflation that the squad experienced against the Czech Republic, after all the hype about 23 years in the wilderness and suddenly we were going to do something, then this 2-0 defeat flattened everybody for a little while. But as he said, this is a confident squad. It's a squad that believes that they can do it, and they showed some of that self-belief last night to the point where England were booed off the pitch by their own fans, and all you could hear in the background was the Scotland fans singing.
We were having a bit of a giggle at Tyrone Mings being interviewed by our own George Hamilton, and George was high as a kite having just commentated on the game, and Tyrone was trying to say all the right things about the fans, but the atmosphere in the background and the sound of his voice suggested he was thinking quite the opposite to what he was saying. Was there much talk at the press conference about the need for goals and where they might come from?
Yes, and Stephen Reid was saying that they're quite satisfied there are goals in the squad. Remember that in the first game, Jack Henry hit the crossbar. That was against the Czechs. We saw last night a couple of very good chances cleared off the line. And, of course, if you remember, that England were restricted to a single chance. That was quite extraordinary when you think of the power that England have got, especially in attack, and they just didn't function in the way we expected. There was a remarkable attempt by Stephen O'Donnell. He was playing at right wing back, and you probably remember that after the Czech game, he was one along with David Marshall, who came in for heavy criticism. But Steve Clarke trusts his players. He had them both starting in the game at Wembley, and he was rewarded by a very good save from Mount by Marshall, and a very good shot by O'Donnell, which you remember that one on the volley, which Pickford did well to get away. Had he not been exactly on his mark there, Scotland would have scored. At any rate, as I say, there are goals that they believe in the squad, and they have to get them out on Tuesday night. By the way, Stephen Reid saying, I would say to you that he said of the golfers outside while we were doing the press conference, you'd think it was the Ryder Cup out there. You can hear crying on the greens. I'm not sure if everybody's playing to the handicaps. We've identified a few bandits in the squad. That's what I like to hear.
Well, Kenny, obviously, you featured in major tournaments before. You know what the pressure is like. I know it was a few years ago. But when you get a result like that, even if it's not necessarily a win, I mean, you can actually feel it coming from Roddy, can't you? The atmosphere and the sort of sense that there's something there within them.
Absolutely. Yeah, the buzz would have been unbelievable. I agree. Some of the players getting back to the hotel would have found it kind of difficult to sleep. And I think a good thing in some respects, just getting them onto the golf course, get out for a few hours, kind of cleared ahead. But you don't want to get rid of those feelings, to be honest. It's not as if you're looking to flush those, that sense of euphoria. You actually want to keep hold of it. You want to use it. You want to use it to your advantage. And I'm sure the Scottish staff, that's the way Reedy seemed to be talking there. I can understand that. Got to use it in the last game. I think they're in a good position. I think Croatia are not in the best place in terms of as a group where they were a couple of years previously. And I just feel if Scotland can keep that kind of high tempo to their play, high energy, which we saw for large parts of that game last night in terms of that tenacity, how they chased the ball down, made tackles, got the ball from back to front earlier times in behind. I think that's the type of football that will disrupt this Croatian team. A lot more one-paced, haven't got as much energy in their legs. So I think the Scottish players need to take advantage of that. That's the type of football well. That's the type of game that they're going to have to play against Croatia, and that could be good enough to win it 1-0 probably.
Kenny, could I just ask you what you thought of the Andy Robertson-Kieran Tierney partnership restored? And also, Grant Hanley had a superb game in central defence.
Yeah, he did. I think it's the only way you can accommodate them both in the team, Roddy, isn't it? Tierney is that left side of a three and Andy Robertson. And I think they can dovetail as well. That's the beauty of it. I think there's opportunities for Tierney to get himself on the overlap, which he did, and the underlap. So it's some wonderful combination play between the two of them. I think it was a good play to put McTominay right for three as well. I think somewhere long term, that's somewhere, Roddy, where he could play. And I think where that helps Hanley. Hanley's a very good defender, traditional defender, as you'd well know. But he lacks a little bit of mobility as well, Roddy, doesn't he? So I think you've got to get legs around him. When you play a three, you've got to get legs either side of him. And that's what he did. Nobody's quicker than Tierney. McTominay's a really good athlete as well. So I thought the balance was really good. Hanley defended his area of the pitch really well, but he wasn't exposed so much down the sides because of the pace that he had either side of him. And he had that attacking threat down the left-hand side. Stephen O'Donnell, I thought, done quite well as well down the right-hand side. But the compact shape, the shape of the team was really good. And you mentioned Billy Gilmour. We're having discussions here 10 minutes ago about England, Southgate not trusting his younger players. Oh, they haven't got the experience, so you have to you lean to your experienced players in these situations. Well, Steve Clarke didn't last night. He put young Billy Gilmour in there, and look at the performance that he got out of the young lads. So Gareth Southgate should be looking at that and maybe thinking this morning, maybe I should trust my younger players a little bit more than I have done up until now. And England might reap the rewards that Scotland did last night with that performance from young Billy Gilmour.
And Stephen Clarke actually did that at the expense of allowing McTominay to be a box-to-box player. That's what Steve Clarke thinks is his best role. It's his best role at Manchester United. But as so many players have done, Kieran Tierney, for example, McTominay is taking one for the team there. It's not his favourite position, but as you say, he accomplished it very well.
Before we let you all go, am I right in saying both Kenny and Stephen are going for France to win?
Yeah, I'd have to stick with France. I'd imagine. I'd love to see Portugal do it, just because I think Ronaldo to win it again would be outrageous. But I think France probably just edge it over everybody else.
And you're going with France as well?
Oh, we always, yeah.
Yeah, and so Roddy, you've obviously seen plenty of the matches. Who's been the standout team? Who you think are likely to go all the way?
I must say Italy have impressed me with their possession play and their squeezing and pressing. So I'm not the greatest fan of Italy. As I think I've mentioned before, Belgium would be my favourites for the tournament, but I have been very impressed by Italy.
I love how we all become parochial, even with countries that we're not from. That's brilliant. Roddy, Stephen and Kenny, thank you very much. Kenny, you're involved obviously in our TV coverage with Ortiz. So you're on the 5 o'clock game today.
I am.
Yes, which have I just reminded you of that?
I'm glad you did, actually.
Sorry, no bringing the mat out so chopping anymore.
You'll watch this one.
Okay, thank you very much.